Good morning. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. I am delighted to be one of the co-leaders of our morning worship this morning. I'm the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent, and I'm joined in leading worship with my spouse, Evan Carvel-Zemer, who is the interim minister at Southwest Unitarian Universalist Church and also the Youth and Young Adult Programs Coordinator for the Ohio Meadville District. We're joined in welcoming you this morning by Michelle Buchheit, who is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Spartanburg, South Carolina, Hal Dixler accompanying us on our music, and the wonderful SI Choir. We're glad to be together, and I'd like to invite you, if you haven't yet, to please silence your cell phones as we enter together into the spirit of worship. Come in. Come into this place which we make holy by our presence. Come in with your vulnerabilities and strengths, fears and anxieties, hopes and loves. For here, you need not hide, nor pretend, nor be anything other than who you are and who you are called to be. Come into this place where we can touch and be touched, heal and be healed, forgive and be forgiven. Come into this place where the ordinary is sanctified, the human is celebrated, the compassionate is expected. Come into this place. Together we make it a holy place. Please rise in body or in spirit for our opening hymn, which is Come, Come, Whoever You Are. The words will be on the screen.
We're going to add a sentence that was left out of Rumi's poem when our book was published. And so I'm going to invite the low voices, and you know who you are, to sing, Though You've Broken Your Vows 1,000 Times. And this section of the choir will be singing it. We're going to start with you all, and then we'll start in with the Come, Come, Whoever You Are, and we will sing it through 3 times. So... and no round, much too complicated. So here's the B flat for the though you've spoken. So it is, though you've broken your vows 1,000 times, though you've broken your vows 1,000 times, though you've broken your vows. Ready? Come, come, whoever you are.
This morning's chalice lighting is responsive. Your words will be on the screen. We have gathered for this 1 week to constitute ourselves into beloved Unitarian Universalist community. We have come from many places and spaces, bringing with us so many conditions of heart and mind and body and spirit, so we may experience something together which we cannot experience on our own. Like this chalice is a symbol of the spark that dwells in each and every human life. May the flame we now kindle, dust is just for that spark of the divine in each and every person we meet. Our connections run deep. May our time together help us remember that we are one people sharing one planet, all of us blessed with the gift of life.
I I'd like to invite you into a time of prayer. But before we begin, I'm curious, how many of you have prayer in your congregations on a regular basis? Not quite half of us. And how many of you pray in your own personal life on a regular basis? Not exactly the same set of people, but also just not quite half. There are lots and lots and lots of ways to pray. And part of what we hope to share with you this week are a variety of spiritual practices. So thinking just for a moment about prayer, sometimes when we pray words that other people have composed and that we read or memorize. Sometimes when we pray, we listen very quietly and find some words that come out of the still small voice inside of us. Sometimes when we pray, it's just a listening prayer. There are no words involved. We're just opening ourselves to listen to what the universe or spirit or God might be having to say to us that day. And sometimes when we pray, we use our bodies. And that's the kind of prayer that I'd like to share with you this morning. The words may be familiar to some of you. This is Gandhi's peace prayer. So I will say the words, and then after each line, I invite you to reply with the words, and you can remain seated. But you'll notice that these words have been paired with movements. And so I will do the movements with the words and then invite you to respond with the movements and the words as well. I offer you peace.
I offer you peace.
I offer you friendship.
I offer you friendship.
I offer you love.
I offer you love.
I see your beauty.
I see your beauty.
I hear your needs.
I hear your needs.
I feel your feelings.
My wisdom comes from a higher source.
I honor that source in you.
I honor that source in you.
Let us work together.
Amen.
Yesterday afternoon after church, I took my dogs over to the dog sitter who will be taking care of them this week. For the first few minutes, the dogs sort of ran wildly from room to room and person to person, reacquainting themselves with that family and that home with whom they had just stayed a few weeks ago while Evan and I were attending the Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly. After they settled down a little bit and weren't quite so hyper, we talked a bit, a little chat, first about the weather, and then I reminded the people about how much the dogs eat, their evening treats, the daily walk schedule, and made sure that they had our phone numbers. As I was getting ready to walk out the door, the folks who were taking care of the dogs said, "Hey, by the way, what are you doing this time?" Now, I don't know about you, but I find it challenging enough to tell people what Unitarian Universalism is all about. It's even harder to quickly explain what a Unitarian Universalist summer camp is all about. Of course, there are many parts that we share in common with other camps here at Summer Institute. We have fun, play games, play sports, play music, build community. There are the parts that are unique to our setting here at Kenyon College with opportunities for biking and hiking, tubing, swimming, and strolling down the middle path. There are opportunities for exploring Unitarian Universalist principles and values together in the youth and young adult programs, during the daily morning theme talks, and in the many workshops. And then there are our daily opportunities for worship. Taken all together, this experience we have here this week might be described as part camp, part conference, part vacation, and part spiritual retreat, all in the Unitarian Universalist tradition. Knowing that the focus for our daily theme talk this year is on social justice as a spiritual practice, Evan and I thought that we might complement that theme by focusing on other spiritual practices for all ages during these morning worship services. So if you attend morning worship every day this week, you'll have a chance to immerse yourself in a mini spiritual retreat highlighting 5 different practices that you can pursue to nurture your own spirit here while you're at SI and in the weeks that follow after we go home. We'll need a few helpers for the services we have planned. We still need a few people who would like to help us dance a story tomorrow morning's service. And we need a bunch of people, preferably children, to help us with a spiritual practice involving the alphabet on Friday. So if you think that you might like to participate in either of those, I hope that you'll let either Evan or I know as the week wears on. We'll give you more details. For now, I want to say a few words about religious language and spiritual practices. Like all of our congregations, this congregation that we make up here at Summer Institute is theologically diverse. That means that we believe many different things, and we use different words to say what it is that we most deeply believe. Evan and I may use religious language this week in these services, words like God or sacred or holy, which you might not be accustomed to using. And we might suggest to you practices this week which you don't often engage in, practices like prayer, for example. I'd like to suggest to you right up front, right here now as we're beginning, that if we use words or offer you practices which don't resonate with you, that is okay. They might be resonating with someone else. Part of having the room that we need for such theological diversity amongst us means that we have to make room to honor and celebrate the diverse spiritualities amongst us. So some of you may be noting that I've already used that word a few times, spirituality. What is that exactly, maybe you're wondering? It's something ancient and native to the human experience, but which nonetheless remains difficult to define precisely. I turn to the word spirit. Both the ancient Hebrew and the ancient Greek scriptures are translated. The word that is often used is translated as spirit, but that word is also translated sometimes as wind or as breath. To me, wind and breath are two good metaphors for spirit. I might use the word spirit to describe the animating force that we recognize within us, between us, among us, and beyond us. Or alternately, I might describe spirit as that eternal source from which we come, by which we live, and to which we shall all one day return. With this understanding of spirit, I suggest that spirituality has to do with our relationships with the ultimate in our own lives and with that which is larger than our own egos. It has to do with finding meaning and depth in our lives. It has to do with connections between us, other people, animals, the land, the stars, the community, the universe in its immensity. Spirituality is our reflection upon and attention to our experiences with life, mystery, love, wonder, presence, God. Or to say that in different language, spirituality is a reflection upon and attention to experiences and practices which can help us craft a life truly worth living. Evan and I look forward to sharing this spiritual exploration with you in the week to come. It is good to be together.
Speak,
This morning's theme is radical hospitality, and like many themes, it is best introduced with a story. Chester had his own way of doing things. He always cut his sandwiches diagonally. He always got out of bed on the same side. And he never left the house without double knotting his shoes. Chester always had the same thing for breakfast, toast with jam and peanut butter. And he always carried a miniature first aid kit in his back pocket, just in case. "You definitely have a mind of your own," said Chester's mother. "That's one way to put it," said Chester's father. Chester's best friend, Wilson, was exactly the same way. That's why they were best friends. Chester wouldn't play baseball unless Wilson played, and they never swung at the first pitch or slid head first. Wilson wouldn't ride his bike unless Chester wanted to, and they always used hand signals. If Chester was hungry, Wilson was too, but they rarely ate between meals. "Some days I can't tell those two apart," said Wilson's mother. "Me either," said Wilson's father. Chester and Wilson, Wilson and Chester, that's the way it was. They loved to go on picnics. Once, when Wilson accidentally swallowed a watermelon seed and cried because he was afraid a watermelon plant would grow inside him, Chester swallowed one too. "Don't worry," said Chester. "Now if you grow a watermelon plant, I'll grow one too." Chester duplicated his Christmas list every year and gave a copy to Wilson because they always wanted the same things anyway. For Halloween, they always dressed as things that went together: salt and pepper shakers, two mittens on a string, ham and eggs. "They really are two peas in a pod," said Chester's mother. "Looks like it," said Chester's father. In spring, Chester and Wilson shared the same umbrella. In winter, they never threw snowballs at each other. In fall, they raked leaves together. And in summer, they reminded each other to wear sunscreen so they wouldn't burn. Chester and Wilson, Wilson and Chester, that's the way it was. And then Lily moved into the neighborhood. Lily had her own way of doing things. She wore Band-Aids all over arms and legs to look brave. She talked backwards to herself sometimes, so no one would know what she was saying. And she never left the house without one of her nifty disguises. Lily waved at all the cars that passed by, even if she didn't know who was in them. And she always carried a loaded squirt gun in her back pocket, just in case. "She definitely has a mind of her own," said Chester. "That's one way to put it," said Wilson. When Lily asked Chester and Wilson to play, they said they were busy. When she called them up on the phone, they disguised their voices and said they weren't home. If Lily was walking on one side of the street, Chester and Wilson crossed to the other and hid. "She's something else," said Chester. "Looks like it," said Wilson. One day, while Chester and Wilson were practicing their hand signals, some older boys rolled by popping wheelies. They circled Chester and Wilson and yelled personal remarks. Chester and Wilson didn't know what to do. Just when they were about to give up hope, a fierce-looking cat with horrible fangs jumped out of the bushes and frightened the older boys away. "Are you who I think you are?" Chester said to the cat. "Of course," the cat replied. "Thank you, Lily," said Chester. "You're welcome, Chester," said Lily. "Thank you, Lily," said Wilson. "You're welcome, Wilson," said Lily. "I'm glad you were wearing a disguise," said Chester. "And I'm glad you had your squirt gun," said Wilson. "I always do," said Lily, "just in case." Afterwards, Chester invited Lily over for lunch. "You have a muscle mouse cup," said Lily. "Of course," said Chester. "I do too," said Lily. "Same here," said Wilson. Chester and Wilson cut their sandwiches diagonally. Lily asked Chester's mother if she had cookie cutters, and she made stars and flowers and bells. "That's neat," said Chester. "Wow," said Wilson. That night, Lily invited Chester and Wilson to sleep over. "You have a nightlight," said Chester. "Of course," said Lily. "I do too," said Chester. "Same here," said Wilson. Chester and Wilson wanted toast with jam and peanut butter for breakfast the next morning.
Boring, said Lily. Try this instead. This is good, said Chester. Wow, said Wilson. After that, when Lily asked Chester and Wilson to play, they said yes. When she called them up on the phone, they had pleasant conversations. And if Lily was walking on one side of the street, Chester and Wilson waved and ran to catch up with her. Chester and Wilson taught Lily hand signals, and she taught them to pop wheelies. Lily taught Chester and Wilson how to talk backwards, and they taught her how to double knot her shoes. Some days I can't tell those three apart, said Lily's mother. Me either, said Lily's father. Chester and Wilson and Lily, Lily and Wilson and Chester. That's the way it was. For Halloween, they dressed up as the three blind mice. For Christmas, Lily gave Chester and Wilson nifty disguises, and they gave her a box of multicolored shoelaces, extra long for double knotting. They loved to go on picnics. When Chester and Wilson told Lily how they had each swallowed a watermelon seed once, Lily swallowed three of them. I'll grow a watermelon plant for each of us, she said. In spring, Chester and Wilson and Lily shared the same umbrella. In winter, they never threw snowballs at each other. In fall, they raked leaves together. And in summer, they reminded each other to wear sunscreen so they wouldn't burn. Chester and Wilson and Lily, Lily and Wilson and Chester, that's the way it was. And then Victor moved into the neighborhood.
There's a story told and retold in many traditions around the world. One or more strangers appear. They knock on doors and are turned away, but finally one house takes them in. Usually, the people who take them in are poor, often the poorest in the village. But they provide as extravagant a meal as they can.
And then, as the meal finishes, the strangers reveal themselves to be gods and bless the family. These stories are the source of the idea of radical hospitality, the idea that the holy may appear to us in the form of a stranger. This is not just ordinary hospitality to friends and family, but the radical is that open-hearted and open-armed hospitality, seeing the stranger not just as somebody needing something from us, but a possible blessing in our lives. Welcome the stranger, and you may be blessed. This kind of hospitality makes space for another. It's not the kind of hospitality that smothers. Hospitality is offered in the open heart. It is the open heart that knows when to be silent and when to speak. The open heart knows that to offer hospitality is to offer what another needs, not what to offer what would make us feel good. Hospitality is not measured by time or conversation length, but by that open heart. For each of us has experienced someone who was able, with a word or two, a moment of deep listening, or a simple, silent gesture, to give us love and acceptance, even if we didn't know their name. Opening our hearts like this may offer a profound gift to another, but opening our hearts offers us just as much. When we open our hearts to another, we let a new possibility in. We let an old preconception die. We let a new idea take root. We let go of a fear. We let another change us. There is no way to open our hearts to each other and not be changed. It is possible to go through the motions of hospitality, of course, and never open our hearts this way. But without opening our hearts, we will not connect or be transformed, and neither will we allow another to connect or be transformed. Of course, when we open ourselves to be vulnerable, to be hurt, to be moved by suffering, when we open our heart, but we also open ourselves to possibility. In their book, Radical Hospitality, Father Daniel Holman and Lonnie Pratt write, "Hospitality enables you to joyfully make room for another inside your open heart. It stretches the brittle, tight heart. A closed-up heart can never relax, never allow you to enjoy another, to play, to relish the unguarded moment of surprise. It is always waiting for the other person to strike. Only the secure person can live with an open heart. To do so is a whole lot braver than it sounds. You will be misunderstood. You will be rejected. Doubts you could otherwise avoid will circle your feet. You will have to resolve the issue of whether or not the universe is a safe place. Only the brave keep the door ajar." We can practice radical hospitality in many ways. Each of us has a stranger, at least one, living inside us, emerging parts of ourselves we don't quite know yet and maybe don't want to know. We can open our hearts to ourselves. We can practice radical hospitality with those we already know and love, realizing that they too have emerging strangers, parts of them we don't know yet, even between those married for decades. And we can practice in intentional communities like this one. I invite you to look around the room at this glorious assembly. Can you turn to someone next to you and say, "I'm so glad you're here with me"? And if you haven't done so, turn to someone you don't know and say, "I'm so glad you're here with me." Each day this week, we are going to offer you a small spiritual practice assignment. an assignment for all ages. Today's assignment is this. Look for a way to open your heart to welcome a stranger. Whether this is your first summer institute or you have been coming for decades, there are strangers in this room. People we haven't met or even seen before or have changed quite a bit since the last time we've been together. You might just meet your new best friend, even someone like Lily. You can make this assignment as big or as small as you like. The invitation is simple. Look for a way to open your heart to welcome a stranger. And notice what happens for you. And we invite you to tell us how your spiritual practice assignment goes. Each day during morning worship, we are hoping that someone will offer a story of how their spiritual practice assignment went the day before. So if you end up with a story that you think might need telling, find me or Melissa. We look forward to sharing these practices together. And now will you please rise in body or spirit, for here we have gathered our closing song. In the opening of your heart, may you be blessed. In the opening of your neighbor's heart, may you be blessed. In the simple sharing of community, may you be blessed. For each of you is a blessing.
Monday morning sleep is in my eyes. Monday morning sun up in the sky. Monday morning lots to do today. Monday morning SI's underway. Monday morning, ooh, Monday morning came so early. Monday morning, ooh, Monday morning, please be kind to me. A helpful hint, if you haven't noticed already, or if you've forgotten, as I have many times, until I said to someone, do you know what time something starts? There's a schedule on the back of your name tag. Maybe you didn't even look, but there's a schedule there. That'll help you. Nola Crush will be giving 5-minute mini Reiki sessions in Pierce Hall Lobby for donations to support the scholarship fund, for about a half hour at noon every day. So at lunchtime every day for about a half hour, Nola will be doing that. If you haven't yet been into the Hogwarts-style dining hall, which is actually called Pierce Dining Hall versus Thompson, Thomas is the other one, the newer one, there is a very large adventure hump in the middle of the room. The entire length of the room, the floor, the beautiful wood floor in there has buckled, and it rises up about this high, and there are some signs all the way along there, but we've already had a few trips and foibles with our trays and things like that. So know that that's there. Know that we probably are going to trip on it this week once or twice, but be careful around it, and keep your eyes out when you're moving around the dining hall. Do that anyway, because there are so many of us, we crash into each other all the time. The freshman quad, you may wonder where that is. The freshman quad is listed on our schedule for some of the afternoon activities, for instance, tie-dye and body art. So let me tell you where that is. On North Campus, which is where a majority of us are staying, there are 3 dorms that form a quad, which is weird because 3 doesn't make 4, which is a quad. But that's what it's called. The 4th side is the street. So Gund Dorm, which is where our youth are staying this year and where our young adults have been for the last several years, is the center of this set of 3 dorms. Norton and Lewis are the other dorms, and many of you may be staying in one of those. So those 3 dorms together, which are almost directly across the street from Gund Commons, where we registered yesterday, they form the quad. And so that's where those things that are scheduled there, tie-dye and body art and Ready, Set, Go, are going to be in that area. I will let you know there's a possibility we will shift those just a little bit, not far from that quad area, in relation to water availability for some of those things. And if we move anything to a place where you can't find it, obviously, we'll post it. We'll let you know this afternoon that we move it. I think there was one afternoon workshop that was perhaps left off of the list in the kaleidoscope yesterday. That is exercise for fun and pain relief. So fun and pain relief. We try not to do the fun and the pain at the same time. Hopefully the relief is fun. And that is happening during the later afternoon session, starting at 3:15. That's going to be in the weight rehearsal room, which is in Storer Hall, attached to us through those doors. That is the same room that the drumming workshop happens in the morning. So if you're familiar with the drumming location and you wonder where that is, it's weight rehearsal room is what that's called. A couple of reminders about some location changes. Some of these we did not announce last night because we moved them after announcements last night. Rock of Ages, just to confirm, that has not changed from Higley Auditorium. The wrong location was printed in the kaleidoscope yesterday. That was the original location from which we moved it. Higley Auditorium. Higley is one of the buildings in this science quad, which is made up of 5 buildings instead of 4. Higley, that's where the 4th one is, from the other side of campus. Good point. So Higley Auditorium is where that the Rock of Ages morning seminar is going to happen. Belly Dance, the belly dancing, I can't remember the whole name, but you know which one I mean, has moved to the Bolton Dance Studio. There are two theaters and a dance studio that are all clustered together near Pierce, where we eat. And we've moved things around between those three places. So the Bolton Dance Studio versus Bolton Theater is the farthest from Pierce, where the three are in a row. That's where belly dancing is going to be. Massage has moved into the Bolton Theater lobby. There's a big, long lobby area, and we're going to use that space for the massage workshop. So that's Bolton Theater, also over in this cluster of artsy places. Yoga has moved down the hill to the athletic center, the Kenyon Athletic Center, also known as CAC. CAC 237 is where that is going to take place. And wedding dance has moved from one theater to the other. We were originally scheduled in Bolton Theater. It's now in Hill Theater, which is the closest of those artsy theater places to Pierce. So that one has moved into Hill Theater. The signs for those, which are pounded into the ground, all of those have been crossed out, the right location written in, and put into the right place. So those are all out there. There is one building on our schedule that is missing from your map. It's new. We knew we were going into a new building that we've never used before, but we didn't think to add it to the map. So that's your special quest to find it. But I'll tell you where it is. This is the Horvitz Center for Visual Arts. Horvitz, H-O-R-V-I-T-Z. There won't be a spelling quiz. On your map, when you're looking at it, it is approximately under the large square at the top that lists everything happening in Ross Hall. It's under that square, which is back here. It's sort of behind this area. It's sort of behind the cemetery. I think the best way to go there is to pass Ross Hall and Storer Hall and go through that parking area back there. But that's Horvitz, and that is Compassionate Dialogue. The Compassionate Dialogue morning seminar is happening over there. That is the only thing that's scheduled in the mysterious building. So if you folks find it, we will be all set. A reminder, on our schedule, if you scrutinize it, you'll notice that mealtimes are a full two-hour block, and you might remember that historically mealtimes have been an hour and a half block. The two-hour block means that the mealtime overlaps just a little bit with some of our programming. We left it that way on the schedule on purpose because we know not everyone goes to everything. Some morning seminars might finish 10 or 15 minutes early, and lunch will already be open. So just note, and when you look at your schedule, you'll see that breakfast runs into morning worship, lunchtime starts earlier than the seminars end, and dinner time runs into evening programs just a little bit. So just know that that's that way. If you plan on eating at the end or the beginning of a serving period, you might overlap with something else that you want to do if you don't pay attention to the schedule. If you have a shower near you or a faucet of any kind in a bathroom that seems to not turn off, there are some tricky faucets around campus, and the one I know most specifically about, we had a shower in Mather, on the first floor of Mather last night, I believe, that wasn't turning off. It will actually turn off. You might need your towel or your washcloth or something to get a little extra grip when you're turning it. They just turn really, really hard. If you are confident that you tried as hard as anyone could try and you didn't turn off, then we do want to hear about it because we want to let Kenyon know. Euchre tournament. Did you know there's a euchre tournament? There's a euchre tournament. And there is a sign-up sheet on the Pierce message board. There's a big bulletin board in the lobby of Pierce, which doesn't have a lot of stuff on it yet. It has some labels from us to label where we're going to post things, but that will fill up with lots of stuff over the week that we're here. And I believe right now, and if not right now, by lunchtime, there is a sign up there for the euchre tournament, so you can sign up to play euchre. Mahjong fanatics. We will play in the dining hall. This is the newer side, not the side with the fabulous adventure hump. The newer side of the dining hall for today only, after lunch. This is not the only day that they're playing Mahjong, but today it will be in that dining hall. Today also the board games workshop is going to happen in that dining hall. And both of those things will continue to coexist for the week in the pub after in the afternoon after today. The pub is being used for something else during the day, not Summer Institute, and we'll be using that dining hall space. As lunch is wrapping up, we're going to stay in there, and we're going to help to keep the space clean as the staff have to clean around us when we're doing those things. Also, for women, we will be having a red tent temple in the green area behind Pierce Tuesday afternoon. There's a green space and a patio outside of the lower level of Pierce. This is outside of where our RE classes are happening. And we're having a red tent temple in that green area. Look for the red tent. That's how you know about it. 3:45 to 5:15, or 5 o'clock. That's the late afternoon workshop time. Tuesday, yes. Thank you. Good question. You may have noticed, I'm sure some of you have noticed, that there are a couple of dogs with us on campus this week. These are service dogs. They are two different dogs, obviously, but they're two different types of service dogs and two different levels of training for them. And I mentioned this specifically. Many of you hopefully saw an article, a letter from Ann Lapidus in yesterday's Kaleidoscope. Ann Lapidus, I don't think she's here. You're not in here, Ann, are you? Ann Lapidus is a member of our young adult community, and Ann is blind, and Ann has a seeing eye dog for the first time this year. This dog came to live with her this year. And so this is the first time that we've had an active working dog, an employed dog, per se, on campus with us. And we want some support from the adults, especially, to help remind children, and children from you too, you can help remind your friends, that this is a working dog, and this is not a dog that anyone should run up and pet all the time. And in fact, Anne is not going to spend a lot of time introducing her dog to us, because this is a dog who has a focused purpose and is supporting her while she is here and keeping her safe. And it's not helpful sometimes to have distraction of people interrupting and trying to absorb the dog's time. So know that. The other dog that is here is a dog that is in puppy training, essentially, to go into a program to become a type of service dog. And this dog, part of its purpose in being here with Carolyn, is Carolyn in here this morning? Here's Carolyn. This dog, part of this dog's purpose, correct me if I'm wrong, Carolyn, is to socialize and is to meet people, but also to be training with Carolyn. So that dog also, it would be a good idea to ask before you run up and pet the dog or play with it, to ask if this is a time when we can play with the dog, because sometimes we won't be playing and sometimes we will. Is that right? You're welcome. Thank you. All right, last but not least, we have a fantastic event happening this evening in this very place, Harmonica for the People. Yeah, exactly. Hal Walker is here, which we're so excited about, and Hal's going to do something awesome with us tonight. And you may have guessed by the title that this is something for you, because you are people, to attend. So you should come. It's going to be a lot of fun. It does involve harmonicas, and Hal will have a limited number of harmonicas available. They're $5, I think, right? And so if you want to make sure that you get a harmonica so that you can really participate in that way, try to get here early. That's at 6:30 this evening, Harmonica for the People. I'll be there. Will you? Okay, super. I think that's everything that I have for today. We now are just about to break so that children can go to RE classes, and we're scheduled to start a theme talk in here at 9:30, which is not very far away, and so we will get started with that. Good? Thank you, everybody.